Have you ever been 15 minutes into a cross country, looked down at your sectional, looked out the window, and thought, I have no idea where I am right now. You're not alone. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, here on Radio Hangar, and today we're going to fix that problem before it starts. We're talking about one of the most underappreciated skills in flight training, picking good visual checkpoints, not just drawing a line on a chart and hoping for the best, actually choosing references on the ground that you can find, identify, and use to keep yourself on course and on time. This matters because on your check ride, the examiner expects you to navigate. Not just follow the magenta line, the airman certification standards for private pilots say you need to demonstrate pilotage and dead reckoning. That means eyes outside, chart on your lap, and checkpoints you can actually see. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com, they make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that? Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter, aviationsoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together from the beginning. You've got your cross-country flight planned. You drew your course line on the sectional. Now you need checkpoints. And here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Not all landmarks are good checkpoints. Some are fantastic. Some will get you lost faster than having no checkpoint at all. Let me give you a framework. I call it big, unique, and on the line. Big, your checkpoint needs to be visible from cruise altitude. Think about this. You're flying at 4,500 feet above the ground, maybe higher. A water tower? You're probably not going to see it. A small pond, it looks just like every other dark spot on the ground, but a major highway interchange, a large lake with a distinctive shape, a river bend, a town with an airport next to it, those you can see from miles away. Here's a mistake I see students make constantly. They pick checkpoints off a zoomed-in view on their iPad. Everything looks big and obvious when you're zoomed in on a screen. But from 4,000 feet up, the world looks very different. Small features disappear, colors blend together. What seemed like an obvious landmark becomes invisible, unique. Your checkpoint has to look different from everything around it. This is where students get into real trouble. Let me give you a scenario. You're flying across rural Kansas. You pick a small town as your checkpoint. The problem? There are about 40 small towns that all look identical from the air. A grid of streets, a grain elevator, maybe a water tower. You see a town below you and think, that's it. But is it? Or is it the town 5 miles north that looks exactly the same? Now compare that to a checkpoint like the junction where a railroad crosses a river. There might only be one of those along your route. Or a large lake with an island in it. Or a city with a very obvious feature, like a racetrack or a large quarry. Those are unique, you see them and you know exactly which one it is on the line. This one seems obvious, but students mess it up all the time. Your checkpoints should be on or very close to your planned course. I've seen students pick a landmark that's 8 miles off to the left of their course line. Sure, it's big and unique, but now you're looking way off to the side, trying to estimate whether you're north or south of course based on the angle to something that's nowhere near your track. That's not navigation. That's guessing. Ideally, a checkpoint is something your course line passes directly over or within a mile or two of. That way, when you see it, you know you're on course, and when you cross it, you can mark the time and check your ground speed. Let me give you a real-world example of good checkpoint selection. Say you're planning a flight from a small airport in central Ohio to another small airport in western Pennsylvania. Your course takes you roughly east-northeast. Here's how I'd pick checkpoints. First checkpoint, maybe 10 to 15 minutes into the flight. I'm looking for something big and easy to find while I'm still getting settled in cruise. A large reservoir shows up on the sectional about 12 miles out, right on my course line. Perfect. Big body of water with a distinctive shape. I can see it from miles away. I note the time I should arrive there based on my calculated ground speed. Second checkpoint, maybe 25 minutes in, there's a town where Interstate 70 crosses a major river. Highways are great checkpoints because they're wide, they're light-colored, and they cut obvious lines through the terrain. A river is also great because it has a natural, unmistakable shape where the two cross. That's about as unique as it gets. Third checkpoint, let's say 40 minutes in. There's a VOER on the sectional right near my course line, and it happens to be located at a small airport. An airport with a VOER next to it is a double win. You can see the runway visually, and you can tune the VOER to confirm your position with your navigation radio. The examiner loves seeing you cross-reference like that. See the pattern? Each checkpoint is something I can find without squinting. Each one is different from its surroundings, and each one is close to my course line. Now let's talk about spacing. How far apart should your checkpoints be? This depends on your ground speed, but as a general rule, I like to have a checkpoint every 10 to 15 minutes of flight time. Any more than that and you're going too long without confirming your position. Any less and you're spending so much time heads down on the chart that you're not flying the airplane. At a typical training ground speed of about 100 knots, 10 to 15 minutes means checkpoints roughly every 17 to 25 nautical miles apart. That's a comfortable rhythm. fly, navigate, check, fly, navigate, check. There's another reason the spacing matters. Ground speed checks. Every time you cross a checkpoint, you note the actual time and compare it to the time you planned. If you plan to reach that reservoir at 12 minutes past the hour and you get there at 14 minutes past, you're slower than planned. Maybe you've got a headwind component you didn't expect. That tells you something important. It tells you your fuel burn might be higher than planned and your arrival time is going to be later. You can adjust your estimates going forward. But here's the thing. That ground speed check is only useful if you can clearly identify the moment you cross the checkpoint. If your checkpoint is a vague area, like somewhere near that cluster of small lakes, you can't get a precise crossing time. If your checkpoint is a sharp, identifiable point, like where the highway crosses the river, you can mark the time to the minute. Let me talk about some checkpoint types that I think are underused. Airports. Even airports you're not landing at are incredible checkpoints. They show up on the sectional with their exact position. They usually have a beacon you can see. The runways are visible from a long way off, especially a nice long paved runway, and you always know exactly which airport it is because you can look at the layout and match it to the chart. Power lines and pipelines, these show up on the sectional as thin lines with small markers. In flat terrain, they cut ruler straight paths through the landscape that are visible from altitude, where a major power line corridor crosses your course. That's a sharp, identifiable point, terrain features. In hilly or mountainous areas, ridgelines and valleys are your best friends. A pass between two peaks, a distinctive ridge that runs perpendicular to your course, a river valley that bends sharply. These features don't move, they don't change with the seasons, and they're visible in almost any weather condition. Now let's talk about what makes a bad checkpoint, because this is just as important. Small towns and areas full of small towns. I already mentioned this, but it bears repeating. From cruise altitude, small towns are nearly indistinguishable unless they have some very obvious unique feature. Single point features with no context, a lone radio tower, a single intersection, an isolated building. Even if you can see them, how do you know it's the right one without surrounding context to confirm your guessing? Seasonal features. A green field in the summer might be a brown field in the fall, a small pond might dry up, snow can make everything look the same. Choose features that are identifiable year-round, features that depend on lighting. A glass building that reflects sunlight might be obvious on a sunny afternoon, but invisible on an overcast morning. Stick with features that have shape and contrast regardless of conditions. Here's a practical tip for your planning process. When you're sitting at home with your sectional spread out on the table, pick your checkpoints, then zoom in on satellite imagery to see what they actually look like from above. This is where tools like ForeFlight, or even just an online satellite map, can be incredibly useful during planning. See what that highway interchange actually looks like from overhead. See if that lake really has a distinctive shape, or if it just looks like a blob. But, and this is important, do your planning on the sectional chart first. Identify the features using the chart, because that's what you'll be using in the cockpit. The satellite imagery is just a way to confirm your choices and build a mental picture. Let me tell you about a cross-country I did as a student that taught me all of this the hard way. My instructor sent me on a solo cross-country, and I had picked checkpoints that looked great on the chart. A small lake, a town, another small lake, then the destination. The problem was, I was flying over lake country. There were lakes everywhere. I found a lake at about the right time and thought, great, checkpoint one. But it wasn't the right lake. It was a similar-looking lake about 4 miles south. I didn't realize it at the time, so all my subsequent calculations were based on a wrong position. By the time I should have been at my second checkpoint, the town, I couldn't find it, because I was 4 miles off course and looking in the wrong place. I ended up doing what every student eventually does. I pulled out the GPS and figured out where I was. Lesson learned. But that's not a lesson you want to learn on a check ride. What should I have done differently? Picked a lake that was truly unique, one with a distinctive shape, an island in it, or a dam at one end. Something that said this is definitely that specific lake and no other. Or better yet, picked a checkpoint that wasn't a lake at all since I was flying over an area full of them. A highway, a town with a visible airport, a river. Something that stood out from the dominant terrain. The examiner is looking for a few things when it comes to your navigation on a check ride. First, can you identify your checkpoints? That means you planned good ones. Second, are you within 3 nautical miles of your course? That's the standard from the ACS. If your checkpoints are good, staying within 3 miles isn't hard because you're constantly confirming your position. Third, are your time estimates close? You should be within 5 minutes of your planned arrival at each checkpoint. If you're further off than that, it means either your wind correction or your checkpoint identification is off quick summary of the framework. When you sit down to plan your next cross country, pick checkpoints that are big enough to see from cruise altitude, unique enough that you won't confuse them with something else, and close enough to your course line that they actually confirm your position. Space them every 10 to 15 minutes of flight time. Use a mix of feature types, airports, highways, water features, terrain, confirm them with satellite imagery during planning, and practice the skill of looking outside first, then at the chart, not the other way around. This is one of those skills that separates a pilot who can navigate from a pilot who just follows a GPS. And trust me, the day the GPS quits on you, and it will someday, you'll be glad you know how to look out the window and find your way. Most of what we covered today comes straight from the FAA's Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, Chapter 16 on Navigation, along with the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards for Cross-Country Flight. Check out RadioHangar.com for more episodes like this. Fly smart out there. I'll catch you next time.